Hey, BYD. Hey, BYD. Hey, BYD.
Hey, BYD.
What's up?
Ignore Duncan.
It's cool. I've got my December surf dad bod loaded for Jan.
Well, welcome to 2026, William. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Duncan?
Very, very good. Very, very good. And there's lots of motoring news to talk about, which is fantastic. Wow. Not all of it EVs, although the focus of the show is EVs. We have a Toyota that has caught my attention, and I haven't stopped salivating since I saw the pictures of this thing.
You're welcome to it. I introduced it to you, did I not?
Yes. Just need to raise a few shekels to buy it. But
I thought it might hit the spot. I mean, I looked at this thing and I was like,
It's breathtaking. We're gonna talk about that in a bit of detail in a moment. But first,
let's talk about the saddest news I've heard all year. I mean, and you know. This was actually late 2025 that we heard that Jerry McGovern's been fired,
and he's the guy who came up with those.
He's the design guy behind
fired or resigned.
Well, it's I think fired, but you never know when these things happen like this. Stop!
You can't believe everything you read on the internet, so I'm going to read something I found out on the internet. The rumors claiming that Jerry McGovern, Jaguar Land Rover's head of design, was abruptly fired in December 2025, weren't accurate. The brand clarified that the 69-year-old designer is still on its payroll. Sorry we fell for that, guys. But the good news is, Jerry's still in place.
Look at, pop it up, because, I mean, look at this. This is just nuts on a different level.
Because, not what you'd expect from Toyota.
Because you know what it is it's a 4-liter hybrid V8 rear-wheel drive only. I mean, from Toyota, you know, just look at it. Oh, my God.
I have a couple more pictures here.
That is masculine sexiness on wheels.
I can't stop staring at it.
It's just stunning. It's absolutely breathtaking. And I have been told by reliable sources that, yes, it exists, and yes, it is coming.
And yes, it's street legal.
And
due in 2027, 641 horses. That equates to 478 kilowatts.
Yes.
Top speed of 320 kilometers or higher, it says in the brochure.
It's bonkers. I mean,
and it runs on baby seal blubber.
Yeah, well, I hope so. At the minimum, you know, sort of.
This is definitely not a planet saving car.
And this is from Toyota. I mean, they've made a hypercar that's not electric. You know, contrast that with the 1,000 kilowatt Jag. You know, you sort of 1,000 horsepower Jag. You know, so on paper the specs aren't particularly impressive. I mean, EVs will, you know, 1,500 horsepower, 1,500 kilowatt.
But this makes
EVs,
a nice sound.
But this will blow them all away. It looks as close to the Batmobile as anything I've seen.
Yes.
I'd take
this over Ferrari.
Absolutely. It's
beautiful.
It's not a hard sell. I think the only real thing, of course, is going to be what Toyota are going to sell it for.
Rumors I read online were around 3 to 4 million rand. But that's... Well, that's just speculation.
Maybe more than that. Maybe a bit more. We'll see. Anyway, so what we need to really achieve here, Duncan, and it's important.
Yes.
I mean, this is now important, is to get our numbers up so that when it does come out, Twitter say, Mr. Kelly, would you be the first to test drive this vehicle?
And I was going to say, get our numbers up so we make so much money we can buy them for ourselves.
Let's do that. I'll say, let me think about it. When were you thinking? Let me just check my diary, because, you know, weirdly.
It's a bit full.
Weirdly, no, it just happens to be open at that particular point in time, whenever that happens
clear
to
it,
be.
Clear it.
Go on. I don't care who you are. You can be the Queen of England. So, King of England. Dead to me. Dead to me, because that I will move heaven and earth to get behind the wheel of.
Yeah.
It just looks phenomenal.
I'm not one of those guys who raves about every sports car he sees, but when I saw pictures of this, my jaw dropped.
You just it's next level.
Just look at that rear.
God, we gush too much about these things. We shouldn't be this engaged with them. We should be dispassionate about the rubbish that Toyota putting together. They couldn't put more horsepower on it.
I think we just need to have a moment, actually, just some silence to just sit and admire this thing. It's beautiful.
It is. I can't fault it.
Not much else we can say about it at this stage. It's only coming in 2027, so it's quite a wait still.
It's quite a long wait.
But maybe buy some Bitcoin in the meantime and hope it goes to $10 million. Maybe we can afford it.
We have to compare that, of course, now with the other thing going completely the other way, which is the Porsche Cayenne electric.
So Porsche, now not Porsche, quite as exciting, is it?
Well, yeah. When you contrast the two, you look at this and you're thinking, oh, what are Porsche doing? I mean, you know, this is just the next derivative of the Cayenne. It's all electric. And there's no thumping, bloody great big V8, which they're famous for in these particular things. But that is, I don't know, 3 tons of vehicle, and it'll do 0 to 100 in 2.5 seconds.
You're kidding me.
It's just monstrously nuts.
So it'll beat the Toyota probably.
It will probably outdrag the Toyota. And you look at this and you're thinking, my God, why? And it's probably because they just can.
Because it's Porsche.
And, you know.
Porsche, I beg your pardon.
Porsche. And yes, that's a mental V8 version of the Cayenne. Mm. So, and it's got a range of over 600K, 642, I think they quoted as the range on this thing, which is nuts. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And yes, the styling may be somewhat conservative, which is unusual for Porsche. I mean, you know, it's not exactly.
The SUVs have been more conservative than
I think. I think they know which side their bread is buttered on, and the simple fact of the matter is, you can still buy a Gen 1 Cayenne with not too many issues on it, and it will do another 150,000 Ks. They really built supremely well engineered, and the proof is in the longevity of it. So I think the styling is slightly conservative to reflect the longer model lifespans. So,
850 kilowatts. Yeah, so that's actually twice as many kilowatts as the 4-liter V8 Toyota.
Yeah, hybrid. We just gloss over that quickly. It's a nuts machine.
And 640 kilometers in theory on its battery.
And again, we need to get our numbers up so that Porsche phone us up and say, please, would you drive one for us? And I'll say, yeah, all right, let's think. We'll do it after the Toyota.
Question for you, William. Why, as a consumer, would I buy that over, say, the BMW XM or a high-end BMW electric SUV?
Well, that's a tough question, Duncan. That's a million-dollar question, isn't it? It's probably close to worth half a million dollars. That comes down to who you are.
Which badge you prefer.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, it's... This is Porsche territory. Cayenne has been around for donkey's years, and you know, to be honest, when the X5 came up and the Cayenne came up, it was a bit of a no contest, really. To be honest,
just me asking that question probably has Porsche drivers burning effigies of me right now.
Probably has BMW drivers
sending me bouquets.
Exactly. Words were failing me there for a minute. I was just trying to think, well, what would they do? something positive to be elevated to the exalted realms of Cayenne territory. But yeah, that's what it'll come down to. And of course, there's always it's a price thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
so when is this coming out?
I'm not sure. I think it's 2026, end of 2026.
Okay.
It's very difficult. Porsche timelines, they tend to change a little bit. What I can say is that in the depreciation race, this between the BMW is going to be tight. I think this thing is going to depreciate faster than you can drive it off a cliff. So it's great news for those of us who want to buy one secondhand, still can't afford it. But it's one of those things where it's that time of the market in EVs where these things tend to, especially the really high-end cars, tend to seem to depreciate quite quickly. Mm. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to see, as I've called it before, we're going to see a stabilization in that realm once people get over the fact that batteries are actually still going well into the 250,000 mile range and still at 80% of health. We're seeing this coming up now with Teslas, even the entry level Teslas from a couple of years back. Still, they've done 170, 180, 200,000 miles. Mm-hmm. 5-year-old car. So that's mileage. I mean, that's really heavy mileage on a 5-year-old car. State of battery health, 85%.
So your biggest worry is the depreciation when you drive it out of the showroom, not that the battery's not
well, exactly. And I suspect that depreciation thing is also going to start to slow down dramatically and people will start to get into these vehicles. You know, the argument that EVs are tech cars now is fast falling away, because the tech that's supplied in ICE is the same tech that's supplied in these cars. So if your argument is the fact that your EVs are so tech loaded that the next version is going to be, it's like your iPhone 15 versus your iPhone 16 or whatever number they're on now, it's the same argument applies to your petrol engine cars these days.
Mm.
That's what happens with tech. But I think this is a Cayenne. You're going to buy it. You're going to drive it for the next 10 years because it'll last 10 years. And you're just going to hammer the hell out of it and it'll just take it.
Yeah.
It'll just take it.
Yeah.
That's what they're built for. Mm-hmm. I love Cayennes. Mm-hmm. I really want one. Mm-hmm. But So I haven't answered your question. I hope you noticed that.
Moving swiftly along. OEM updates. So you want to chat about Ford. Jim Farley is the global CEO for Ford. Ford was pushing the F-150 Lightning big time for a couple of years now.
I like Jim Farley.
Yeah.
I think he's a breath of fresh air in the industry because he admits when he's wrong.
Okay.
And like he said recently in an op-ed that he wrote, he says that, these big expensive SUV things that we've built and these big expensive what we call buckies, what they call pickups in the United States that we built, haven't worked.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make these things cheaper. We need to go into the more mass market side of things. And it's a little bit like
running. Why did they think they were going to sell a bunch of electric pickup trucks to a bunch of rednecks anyway?
They thought it was going to work. I mean, at the time, there was a lot of motivation and pressures on OEMs to go electric pre-Trump.
Mm.
And, of course, Trump has said no. Drill, baby, drill. Let's just use the oil and fire up our fossil fuel cars and off we go. He is, of course, wrong, but, that'll only come out in time. But I think the fact that the likes of Ford, and this is what's refreshing, is they can say, listen, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Do 180. Let's go back into what's actually working in our market. And I find that refreshing. It's an indication that Ford can course correct. And so far, the results will speak for themselves in the future. It's one to watch. Are we going to see a return to the electric Focus, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Focus ST Electric. I think that would be a stunning little vehicle for Ford to bring back. Just stunning, And
why did they stop selling all those cars in South
Africa? They decided to make more money on bigger cars.
Okay.
So they don't make small cars.
In South Africa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much globally.
Because they stopped selling the Figo, the Focus, the
EcoSport, which they sold by the pant load.
Yeah.
So
seems like a very strange decision.
Your smallest car you can buy now is a Puma, which is a big car. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And then Territory immediately after that.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe Ford will come back to small cars and hopefully turn a profit on them.
So, of course, the interesting announcement towards the end of 2025 was that they have formed a partnership now with Renault to build EVs, commercial EVs and passenger car EVs. Why Renault? Why don't they do it themselves?
It's a great question. I don't know. I have no easy answers to that, other than the noodle Renault 5 EV. Everybody is absolutely raving about that.
I'm just going to have a look at that.
We were asking if they go to bring it to this country, and they're like, no, it's just too expensive for the South African market. I was kind of like, well, you can buy cheap overseas, but of course we have this big EV duty that ruins everything for us locally. It's got to go away. And just makes things too expensive for us. So I think Renault have got a fair amount of platform development and tech development under their belts. Renault's a big French company, and they've stayed largely true to being big and French, and
they know how to make somewhat affordable mass market cars.
Exactly, exactly. So the French market is different to every other market. They're French to the French, the car is a thing.
It's not get from point A to point B.
It's not like where we take joy and pride in our cars and give them a wash every now and then. In France, it's kind of like
Well, have you seen the way they park their cars in
Paris?
France?
They park by touch, So if the thing hasn't got 25 dents in it, it's still brand new.
I was amazed the first time I went to France. Someone was parallel parking. They reversed in hard, smashed into the car behind, smashed into the car in front, smashed into the car.
Make some space for me to get to fit in.
And they actually leave their handbrakes off to do that.
And you look at it. Well, it's a bumper for for a reason. It's there to be bumped. I mean, it's, you
know, in South Africa, there would be a violent altercation if it happened.
Exactly, exactly. You would be escorted out of your car and left on the side of the road with a physical warning. You know, that would be the end of it. So, yeah, I suspect that there's some synergy in terms of how to make small cars and that kind of thing with Ford. But there's clearly some sort of vision.
I guess we'll see more on that alliance as the year progresses.
Exactly that.
You wanted to chat a bit about the NAMSA sales numbers, which have been looking
interesting.
Very good.
I mean, they're starting to come. You know, so November. Mm. November pump had a bit of a bump over November last year, and it's really interesting to see what NAMSA don't report on is the net rand's value of cars bought. And I suspect that what we're seeing is that number is starting to come down a little bit as the advent of more affordable cars come into the marketplace and start competing and start driving pricing down. So the overall basket, maybe in terms of unit numbers, bigger, but the net size of the pie is what interests me. Mm. And unfortunately, I don't have a team at my hand just to go and punch in every single car that was sold and give me the rand's value. I'm pretty sure NAMSA do, but I think they keep those numbers for
public facing numbers.
Yeah, for their expensive subscribers only.
Okay.
But I suspect it's nonetheless good news. It's an indication that maybe our economy is starting to turn and face the right direction. Mm. Let us hope. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to see our numbers starting to bump up a bit, and obviously watching the exports. You know, the one I'm watching with some interest is Mercedes. I've been tracking them. They're still doing 4,000 cars a month, but that's down from 8,000 with doing about six to 8 months ago. So
the East London factory of theirs is kind of on.
Yeah, and that's the one we've called. We don't know what's happening there, and that's why I asked them specifically when an announcement was going to be made, what their direction is going to do, or they're just going to carry on doing what they're doing at the moment and wait it out. Mm. So the longer they keep going, obviously, the better for everybody concerned. So
but it was another disappointing year of EV sales. PHEV is picking up nicely, but EV sales are still very low in South Africa, and I think that's a function of price, these import duties, and just conservative South African car buyers. I think the depreciation as well on these vehicles is higher than ICE vehicles when you drive them out of the showroom, and I think that plays a role in purchasing decisions. But hopefully we start to see a sales pickup next year.
It's going to be interesting because, I mean, you know, as I say, I think depreciation is overdone, so that'll come out in the cake. I mean, I'm always early on these things when I'm right.
You're usually right.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I'm not entirely sure. I've called cars that will sell like hotcakes that have never sold one. I think it's going to be this thing that I think when it comes, it's going to come quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I do think that policy will make
a sentimental shift suddenly.
The classic S-curve. Mm. So I think we saw it quite quickly in Norway where they've gone to 95% market penetration, 96% now, just pure EV sales.
Where is that?
Norway.
So 96%
is all EVs. So their total fleet is starting now to reach a tipping point where it's more EV than ICE. Mm-hmm. You know, in South Africa, we got, 13 million cars or something like that, 11 or 13 million. Mm-hmm. North of 10 million cars on the road, of which
a few thousand are
EVs. So, you know, it's a case of I think that our S-curve is going to be a lot sharper than everybody else's because we've got this built-up compression artificially built up by these ridiculous import duties and natural South African conservatism towards EVs.
Yeah.
But once we get over that, and I think once we get price parity with ICE, that's when we're going to see things start to shift. And we're going to start to see it with the Dolphin Surf. We're going to start to see those numbers coming up, although BYD don't report their numbers yet.
They're not in the NAMSA figures. Yeah, no, what's the reason for that? Because they're not a NAMSA member? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll come. But we do have friends who can give us indications of what they are actually selling. Mm-hmm. So the surf is going to be an interesting one, being the cheapest.
I've seen a few of those on the road already.
I've seen a lot on the road already. Mm-hmm. And interesting enough, I've seen a lot of Sharks.
Yes, Shark is selling.
Shark is selling quite a few of those. Mm. So, you know, that those are the sort of things that will start to come in. And funny enough, I'm seeing a lot of traction on the Leap Motor C10. just on social media feeds. So, okay, when I say social media feeds, I talk about LinkedIn. I don't do anything else.
That's the Reeve.
Well, it's a plug-in electric hybrid that just does, yeah, whatever. But
it's got a generator.
We went into that last episode. But the point of the matter is that on my feeds is generating quite a bit of interest.
Interesting.
So that's a car. I said, funny enough, they must give it to me and I'll do 5,000 Ks on a tank because, you know, I know how to drive these things. So
Stellantis is bringing that in.
We'll see. Yes, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting car. I drove it in Spain and it's not the most thrilling car, but it's...
I think it's vastly improved on the one you drove in Spain.
Oh, it could be. I hope the software's improved.
Fewer bongs.
Fewer bongs, yes. It was overly bongy.
Exactly that.
Yeah. I'm sure they've fixed that for our market. If they haven't, it's a problem. Right. We were at this launch just a few weeks ago, early December, I think it was. This is BYD. Steve Chang on the left, who runs BYD here in South Africa. And this company is ramping up rapidly.
It was one of those launches that I spent
a lot of money on it.
Well, and I was a bit sort of puzzled by it, to be honest, because it's one of these launches where when the car was introduced, we noticed the C-Line 5. They popped it up on screen.
That's it there, PHEV.
That's it, yeah. But no specifications. We had no idea what motor's in it. We have no idea what gearbox is in it. We have no idea what the battery range on EV motor is.
Don't ask any questions.
We don't have any spec on a 12, on what the battery was, 12.8 kilowatts. Mm-hmm. They're pitching it directly at Toyota's Corolla Cross, the hybrid there.
Making no bones about that.
No, none at all. And I'm sorry, if you're going to put your best foot forward, you do it at launch and you include the basic information about what the car is actually offering, you know, and the fact that there are in fact two models on
which wasn't disclosed.
Which wasn't disclosed at launch. We were introduced to the first model, which is the Comfort, at 499,000 Rand. We thought, great. And when the marketing lady was talking about her favorite feature being the vented seats, I'm like, I love vented seats. Those are the best things ever.
Great at that price point.
At 499,000 Rand, except that's not what actually happens. You've got the dynamic version, which is 569,000 Rand. And that's the one that comes with the vented seats and the powered tailgate.
Which is still a good price for what it is.
It is still a good price. I thought I was getting it for 499.
But they wanted the headline 499,000 for PHEV.
Yeah. And I think at that price point, that spec vehicle, they've got it exactly where it needs to be.
It's well priced.
It's exactly
very well priced.
And the thing drives like a freight train. You really enjoy the drive on it. It's a CVT box, by the way, as everybody was wondering.
We're going to cut away to a little video on our adventure in this vehicle shortly.
Exactly.
But I was impressed with it. It's not the sexiest looking car. It just looks like just another SUV, if we're honest about it. But price wise, it's good. Looks wise, it's not ugly. No. It's very comfortable inside and it's well kitted out.
And you just say, "Hey BYD,"
and it actually worked.
It worked, yeah. So
hey,
voice control works.
Hey BYD, eject William on the ejector seat,
which didn't work.
That's an optional extra. I'll find that later.
Yes,
but it's a nice car.
It's a nice car.
Shall we cut away to the video and
let's show people what we found,
what we experienced. Take it away.
Here we are at BYD C-Line 5 launch. I have my cameraman Duncan McLeod behind the screen here. And it is extremely loud and noisy inside where the car is, which is why we're shooting outside here. Basic specs. It's an SUV. It is a plug-in electric hybrid, a PHEV. Relatively small battery, 12 kilowatts, giving around 52 kilometers of electric-only range. Combined with a petrol motor, 1.5 litre, normally aspirated, doesn't matter, gives you 145 kilowatts, up to 156 if you punch both together when you're driving. That's a chunky amount of power and 300 newton metres of torque. That should be reasonably good performance. Interesting enough, in our interview with Steve Chang we had a bit earlier, he said he's taking aim at South Africa's favourite, and we all know what that is. It's the Corolla Cross Hybrid. So at 99,000 Rand, where the C-Line 5 is priced, the Corolla is in a proper fight now. We've got BYD, the gorilla of the Chinese industry, coming to South Africa. Let us see who wins in the sales fights. The looks of the car are good. It's nicely done. I love the way they've embossed the logo into the front here. The grille, well, it's typical Chinese. You know, it's one of those things that will age as you go along. The headlights are sufficiently distinctive these days that you pick it up. I think it's We don't call this a 666, we call it a 777 based on those LED globes. And the lines of the car are typical SUV these days. Nothing outrageously offensive, nothing outrageously different, but sufficiently attractive enough that I think it will last the test of time. And being an SUV, we have at least chunky tires on the thing with a decent sidewall. Look at the height of this tire. So that implies there's going to be a degree of comfort on the road. I kind of like those black rims, I have to say, man. They suit this particular color car. And BYD have done what BYD and everybody's doing these days. You can have it in any color, silver, gray, drab you like. Although there's a black version and apparently a red one too. We shall see. Hey, BYD.
What's up?
Close the blind.
All right.
So, 132 kilowatts reported on the full acceleration test. And seats, I have to say, are comfortable. They're nice and soft, as someone else may have observed before we jumped into them. I haven't turned on the venting function yet. I'll figure out how that works later. But for now, it's just a question of finding out what the BYD feels like on the road. It's quiet, comfortable so far. Certainly gets off the line and gets you going with a reasonable degree of... Ooh, that's nice. Of rapidity. And it remains to be seen how the battery and petrol motor integrate. This is one of those cars, unfortunately, you can't really get a full sense of appreciation for on just a test drive. You need to spend a week or two with it to learn how the systems actually operate and what your long-term fuel consumption on it is likely to be. Currently, it's showing me with a battery of 58%, we started with 55% of battery. So it's actually added to the battery as I've been driving, which is interesting. And the ride quality on the car, I think, is quite good. It's quiet in here, Duncan. I can hear myself think, which is a remarkable change.
Certainly quieter
of scenery
than you'd expect in a car this price range.
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels reasonably solid. I think that's a function of those nice chunky tires. And I think as you mentioned when we were rudely called away for driving the car, that those tires are quite a decent profile, which is nice to see these days, especially on our roads. Mentally preparing oneself to drive a Chinese vehicle these days, one has to sort of engage auto turn off ear mode to avoid all the annoying bongs, beeps, warnings, flashing lights and what have you that tell you you're driving like a moron when in fact you're not. And in this car, there's none of that. It's wonderfully quiet inside here. There are no bongs, there are no beeps, there's no irritation. And I find that refreshing to the point where I really am beginning to like this car quite a lot. Because I'm driving with the world's most annoying co-driver, he decided that turning all the safety systems on, in case they turned them off for us at the launch, was a good idea. So we've turned everything on, and the bongs are now prevalent, or they've made a presence, but they're very understated, they're quiet, they're just a gentle reminder. It's more of a Jeeves, hem sir, you're exceeding the speed limit, hem sir, you're not in your own lane. Please don't change lanes. You could hear it there, just going, dong, dong. So that I do actually quite like. And I have
to
say,
not loud enough for you to want to steer the car over the edge of a cliff.
Exactly, and just end the pain there and then. And we've come to the conclusion also that the vented seats are in fact a vented seat. It's only for the driver, it's not for the passenger. Sorry for the passenger, but that's okay. I don't care because when I'm driving, I tend to drive. So it suits me down to the ground.
So, William, yeah, it's a nice vehicle.
And our chat with Steve was interesting. You know, they're pushing ahead with the network that they're building up, this being their charging network. So that's going to be a big thing for South Africa, 200 extra chargers across the country. And it's enough what Steve was saying. He's doing what zero carbon charge are not. He's going in
big,
city.
Going big as
he's
well.
He's not going out of the city. Mm. So he's saying, well, put the charging network
where they're doing both.
Where the people are. Mm. And so he's looking at hospitals and big shopping centres and big residential estates,
their
that
dealerships.
Kind of things, 100%. So it remains to be seen where these things are. But, I mean, you know, you look at this and you're thinking, well, the existing charging network plus another 200. We're starting to get to the point where, you know, range anxiety issues really are going to be – less and less of an argument. And I think that's exactly their strategy.
Yes, so we had an interesting chat with him about their charging network. Starting, of course, it was announced a couple of months ago by Stella Lee, who's the number two at BYD, who was out here, and they're going to be building a megawatt-scale charging network in South Africa. We have discussed this on a previous episode. So Chinese-level charging network being built in collaboration with Eskom.
How do we put it? They're not exactly mucking around.
No. the first one will go live in Q3. There's been a bit of slippage there. They were talking about Q2 a couple of months ago.
Next year, 2026.
Q3, 2026, this year. I suspect they're going to be rolling that out pretty rapidly from there. It's quite exciting.
It's one of these you need to watch, you know. Can't come fast enough, but you know, obviously they're always constraints in terms of
There's another vehicle.
Yeah, you see, it's
it looks a bit like a cross actually.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's fine. You know, it's 5 years time. It'll still look okay.
It's not going to turn any hairs.
But you know, again, it's loaded to the hilt with a lot of toys. Surprisingly comfortable. I agree with Sean that the seats on that thing are soft. Ride was perfectly acceptable.
It's a nice car.
And it's got a sufficient turn of speed that I think, I'm sorry, the cross just can't match. And when you're sitting inside it, I do have to say, I mean, I love Toyota, and I mean, Cross sells
the whole
bucket load of
them. Most of this market loves Toyota. It's the biggest brand here, and it sells for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Reliability.
But sitting in that, the Cross looks like it came out of the Ark. It's just it's showing its age, and so you know it needs an interior revision, and which I'm pretty sure Toyota are not going to be caught with their pants down there. They'll have something in the works.
Yeah. We know there are a number of Toyota EVs coming this year. One of them is the BZR.
BZ4X.
4X, I think I can never remember that.
No, it could be the B4ZX.
That's going to be their premium EV model.
Yeah.
And do we know what the other two are?
No, well, I suspect the one's going to be a Lexus EV.
A Lexus,
and then
right.
the third is going to be
a Cross, possibly?
Who knows?
Maybe an electric Cross?
Maybe a RAV4. We'll see.
Fully electric RAV4.
We'll see.
Didn't they introduce a PHEV?
There's a PHEV of the RAV4. Quick car.
Very nice.
So we wait. It may be Urban Cruiser.
Okay.
May be Urban Cruiser.
Where does that sit in the market? Is that below the Cross? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, very much. So it's above the Corolla Cross, but you know, sort of below.
Because if they want to have an impact in the EV space, they will bring in a car that's low cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you might be right there.
So let's see. The only difficulty, of course, with the Urban Cruiser is the Chesa platform with the other Japanese brand that's selling lots and lots of numbers.
Yeah.
Suzuki. Yeah. So, you know, they that may be, both of them will bring that in as BEVs.
We should know in the coming months, hopefully.
Let's see.
We should know in the coming months. Right. Last segment of the show. My favorite part of the segment of the show, William, hot or not. We have four buzzers here for anyone who hasn't seen the show before. We start over there with meh, is it? We start with that's garbage.
Rubbish.
What was that? That's meh.
Meh.
This one is?
Cool.
Cool. And this one is, of course?
Gotta have it. Gotta have it.
Right, so we're going to start with the Sea Lion 5. I'm kind of hovering in this area over here.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing with it, of course, is it's plug-in electric. Range of 52 Ks only in electric. And that's not enough. It needs to be sort of 100, 120, I think, for a plug-in to make the maximum impact on your fuel savings bill. So remains to be seen. If you get one to drive, we'll see if 50 Ks cuts it or not. But I think just gut instinct needs a slightly bigger battery. I understand why they didn't, to keep the cost below 500 grand. Yeah. That was the target. Mm-hmm. You know, so prune.
50 Ks, I mean, most people probably aren't commuting more than 20 to 25 kilometers from home to the office. I mean,
if you're just doing office stuff, agreed.
I suppose if you drive around a lot, then it doesn't make so much sense.
I average a bit more than that, okay. So anywhere between 70 and 150 a day.
So are we going for cool?
So you can go for cool. I'm going to go for in between. I want a little bit more range. But
what was that? Sounded like a cow mooing.
I said cool.
Cool. Okay.
These things change their minds. They have a mind of their own. It's a little bit suspicious.
Right. Next one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just leave the picture there. Nothing else matters.
Yeah. I think we'll end the show there. Please roll the credits.
We have credits.
We should have credits if we don't have credits. We've got one more.
Just nuts.
We've got one more to do before we wrap up this episode of What's in Wales.
I love Cayenne. You can't do this to me because, I mean, we need a special one. So we need a special one for the Twitter. We need,
you know, like super cool.
Top Gear had the fridge, right? We need a fridge. Okay, so if we pretend that that's where the Twitter is, then that's where the Cayenne is.
All right.
Because that to me is an all EV, SUV, brave, bold, bonkers fast, bonkers power.
Lovely to drive, I'm sure.
I love it. I just love it.
Weighs 17 tons.
Don't care. Just drive over whatever it is, sheeps, cars, people, ships, whatever.
You have to feed it about 40 baby seals in the mornings before you even switch it on. That was the Toyota. Sorry, this one isn't fed by baby seals.
This one's just
that's the baby seal.
By lots of electricity.
That's the that's the comes with its own power station.
Yeah, probably. But I that does it for me.
And that does it for episode 3 of What's in Wheels
in the Can.
Indeed. If you have any feedback for us, mail us on wheels@techcentral.co.za. We'd love your feedback. And we'll be back.
How does it go? No, we've got to say, hit the like button and subscribe.
And tell all your friends about us as well.
Cool stuff.
We'll be forever in your debt.
And we've got lots of cool stuff coming up for episode 4.
We do. I get to play an Uber driver next week, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Better than that, you get to play my Uber driver.
Yes. I take William for a drive in an Uber, electric Uber. So don't miss episode 4. Until then, ciao.